long did you work in the Toby factory?
Oh, I worked in the Toby factory till I got married.
So how long? You were 13 when you started?
I was 13 and I finished when I was 20.
So that's 7 years.
7 years.
Now I want you to tell me the story of the unionization of the Toby factory.
Well, the unionization of the Toby makers, at first, the first years I didn't know anything about mm-hmm. union. Mm-hmm. I was very young and I had to sit in the cellar until I was mm-hmm. old enough.
Yeah.
But when then I was older, I was...
You mean you were in the cellar because you didn't have working papers?
That's right.
Ah.
Because I didn't have working papers. Mm-hmm. And I was fired from one job on account of that. Mm-hmm. And I cried my eyes out.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, but the union, I don't remember, or maybe I didn't know anything about, they didn't have no union then. The union started, I imagine, in about 1912. Mm-hmm. But I am not sure if it was 1912.
Yeah. You said your husband was involved with it.
My husband was very active. They organized a union. And the most...
Was he a Toby maker? Excuse me for interrupting.
Yes. He started... His father had a little Toby factory.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he started.
Mm-hmm.
But his father was a prince.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't cheat anybody.
His name was Schwartz.
Yeah.
What was his first name?
Samuel.
Sam Schwartz.
Yeah.
Schwartz or Schwartz?
Schwartz. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What did you ask?
Yeah, he had a little Toby factory, your husband's
yeah.
father, and that's how your husband started.
Yes, how he started. And what I want to tell you, the most of them were immigrants that
mm-hmm.
came to this, to Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
and they worked at Toby's, and they organized this union, but he seemed to be more capable in writing, because he went to school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
what was your husband's name, please?
Stanley Schwartz.
Stanley. Okay, because I want to write the name instead
yeah.
of all the time just husband.
Yeah.
Was educated.
Yes, he had schooling. In
mm-hmm.
fact, he already had graduated of Fifth Avenue High School.
Ah, I see.
When I, you know,
mm-hmm.
have to...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Before
so he knew
I
how to
met
write.
Him.
He knew how to write.
He knew how to write, and he was very good in speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And they, they organized this union and they made him their secretary.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And that's how he became active. Because there was, most of them didn't know how to write English.
Do you remember the strike?
Oh, I sure do.
Tell me.
Oh, we were striking then for, I think, 13 or 15 weeks.
What year? Was this 1912?
That was... I'm not sure if it was 1912 or 1913.
Well, I can look it up because, you know, we have the records. There's a lady named Mrs. Smiley or Smiley who wrote a whole
story
book
about it, yeah.
About the Stogie makers.
Yeah, I don't remember.
So she has
that
about
day.
The strike.
Yeah, about the strike.
Do you remember walking out on strike?
Yeah, we had to.
Did you picket?
Yes.
Do you remember picketing?
Yes.
Where? In the hill?
In the hill, yeah.
Do you remember how this was organized?
It was organized by the union, and the union asked people not to go to work. They shouldn't scab.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood that I shouldn't be a scab. But there was a lot of Jewish people were scabs. But we stuck with the union. And
mm-hmm.
We paid dues. We started to pay dues.
Can you remember how much was dues?
I think it was a quarter. Or
mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
It was very small, but at that time a quarter was a lot
Would
of money.
Would you have any idea if your husband kept the books of the union since he was the secretary, where the books
no.
would be now? You know, something
no.
like that.
Would be. Okay.
Hillman Library would be
yeah.
so anxious
yeah.
to get because they're building up
I
an archive.
I would.
You don't know who.
No.
Who else was in the union? Do you remember any people who are
all
still
dead.
Around? No.
All our friends are dead. They're all in our cemetery. So I couldn't refer to them at all.
Hmm. It's interesting to know if the books were just thrown away or what
it
happened.
It must have been.
When do you think the Stogie Makers Union collapsed or finished or like went to pot?
Well, it went to pot. That was, I was married in 15, 1915.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, the union, I don't think we
had the
union.
The whole industry kind of.
Yes, the whole industry is sort of broke up.
You started out at 2 cents a pound.
Yeah.
And how much did you eventually earn?
I earned $3 a week. I was very
fast.
That was
your top, $3
yeah,
a week.
$3 a week. I was very fast.
What were your hours?
I got there in the morning, I don't think, more than 7 o'clock, 7 yeah. o'clock or 7.30, yeah. and we worked till 6.
Yeah.
And sometimes
half hour off for supper or
for lunch?
How much off, half an hour?
About a half hour, but it was on our own time,
ah.
see, because it was... we had
because
a play
you by way.
Yeah. So I'd run over to my mother's place because it wasn't far
and grab a bite
and run back. And sometimes if he needed more tobacco done, we would work overtime.
Mm-hmm.
But when we worked overtime, we used to weigh the stuff and earn a little bit.
Did you work on Saturdays and Jewish holidays?
No. This man was not open on Saturday.
I'll tell you, this is one of the reasons people went into Toby. Because a lot of the places you had to work on Shabbos. But
that's
the
right,
Toby,
yeah. You didn't have to because it was all piecework.
What's the difference between Toby and Stogie, or there's no difference?
The same thing. Some call it Toby's and some call it Stogie's.
And how long did you stay at this? From the 7 years?
Until I got married. I quit 2 weeks before I got married.
You got married in 1915?
Yes.
And you started in 1907. That's 8 years.
Yeah.
Mm. So we'll go back to here. Okay, this we have, this information. If you ever find out from somebody
yeah.
that they know where the books of the union are, it would be
fantastic.
There were three Jewish unions. This was the really an original Jewish union, the Toby and Stubby
yes.
There was an amalgamated clothing workers,
yeah.
which is still existed, but not Jewish anymore.
No.
And one of the people who was in charge, Mr. Abe Foreman, I don't know if you know him, lives around the corner from me.
Oh.
And I keep calling him on the telephone for an appointment.
Yeah.
They told me his wife wasn't feeling well. They're going to Florida. So they're in Florida. So I didn't get a
chance
to talk to him. And the
mm-hmm.
other Jewish union is the Jewish Bakers Union, which is the only one that's still a Jewish
sure.
Bakers Union. And I'm very fascinated by this, and I'm trying to follow it along.
Yeah.
And I'm very glad for this information. What became your wife's work? Housewife. Or did you work after you got married?
No.
Did your husband continue in the Toby industry?
My husband continued, but the Toby industry, the Toby work, was not a steady work.
Uh-huh.
There were some days that you couldn't work. If it rained and if this, the tobacco didn't dry, they
mm-hmm.
couldn't
mm-hmm.
work.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't steady.
Mm-hmm. So what did he go into?
Although he did, he was a fast worker. He used to make the Tobys, where I didn't make the Tobys.
Oh, I see.
And after we got married, he made up his mind that he's not going to stick at this trade because
mm-hmm.
he wants to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
And we did intend to have children.
Mm-hmm.
So he tried, and that's where the discrimination that I wanted to tell you about. He was a young, ambitious boy, good-looking, full of life and full of energy to do things. And he saw a ad in the paper. At that time, we had Brace Brothers Laundry. That was an old Goyish.
B-R-A-C-E?
Brace Brothers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they had an ad for a driver, for a laundry driver.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, well, he was looking through the paper, and he says that appeals to him, that he'll go and try, maybe he can get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he came there, and they gave him an application to fill out.
Mm-hmm.
He filled out the application, and where it said religion
mm-hmm.
or whatever church you go to, he left it blank
mm-hmm.
because he knew that if the Jews was not hired by Gentiles. But he never knew that Brace Brothers never had a Jew,
mm-hmm.
never. And they were the first and oldest laundry in Pittsburgh. So he left that blank, and he went along with a man. They sent him out on the route. He never drove a horse and wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent him out with this man. They showed him what to do, and this man showed him to the customers. They had a big route.
Mm-hmm.
And introduced him that this is going to be your new driver.
Mm-hmm.
He did get a job. And he worked for about 2 months in the place, and the customers, people got to like him. He was pleasant,
mm-hmm.
and they thought he was nice to deal with, accommodating. If they needed something special, he would run and get it. Here, one day, he comes in, and he's called to the office that he should go to see so-and-so. And he did, and the man tells him he's fired.
Mm. No reason.
No reason. So he wanted to know the reason. He said, did I do anything? He said, no, you didn't do anything wrong. Oh, why? Why am I fired? And they actually told them that this company does not hire Jewish people. They actually told mm-hmm. him. Well, he felt terrible. Mm-hmm. He says, well, look, there's nothing he could do about it. And he went home.
They didn't have a B'nai B'rith anti-discrimination
no.
league then.
listen what happened afterwards. So he looked again in the paper, and since he already worked 2 months here, he knew what you have to do. They were cleaner, laundry and cleaning, dry cleaning. And there was another laundry that needed the workers, that advertised for a driver. And he went there, and he got a job. And he liked the play. He liked the work. It was outside work, and he liked to mingle with people. That was the main of his. He liked people, and he got along very well with people. And he started work for them, and everything was fine. And we lived that time on Center Avenue. We rented rooms from a people by the name of Landy. They built a theater on Center Avenue, Landis Theater. And they rented us 3 rooms. And by that time already, I had my first child. But we didn't have a telephone.
Oh, sure.
We rented 3 rooms upstairs, and they lived on the first floor, and they had a telephone. One day, he's called to the telephone, and that he wasn't home, was working. And Mrs. Landy come, and she said, Mrs. Schwartz, your husband is called on the telephone. I says, he's working, so I says, tell him that to call in the evening. And at first I got scared.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what happened. I thought maybe mm-hmm. something terrible happened, because I wasn't used to getting telephone calls. Well, anyways, they did call him back. That she told him that he comes from work 6:30 or something like that. They called him back, and they asked him to come back. Brace Brothers, the laundry that told him to go because he's a Jew, they called him back. So he thought to myself, well, he'll go, and he'll just see what excuse they're going to have. And he wanted to find out more about mm-hmm. the situation that he was in. So he went, and they told him that the people that he serviced, that he dealt with, they're all asking for him. And they send out another man, they're losing business. And where is the young feller? Everybody would say, where is the young feller? He was such a nice young feller. So they says, you want to come back? So he told him, he says, you know, I'm still a Jew. And he was going to walk out because he was satisfied.
Yeah.
With the other job. Well, they offered him, they says, come back, and they apologized, says they never had a Jew in the whole company.
Mm-hmm.
But they made him feel
did
that
they give
he's
him a raise?
Well, see, that was a percentage. They used to pay, I think, $7.50 a week, and it was a commission. If you brought in more, you got, I think it was 10% of the business.
Uh-huh.
He did well at that time. $7.50 was the what they paid,
mm-hmm.
and if he brought in more than $100, mm-hmm. then he had to bring him in the first $100. After that, he would get a
commission. Yeah. So he went back to Brace Brothers.
Yes, he did, because they offered him, but they were satisfied. They apologized that they never had a Jew.
Mm-hmm. In other words, he was the one who brought the barrier there.
Yes, he did. And you know what happened? After he worked there, he did so well that they had to give him a helper. He couldn't take care of his
He did roof. So much business.
Yeah, they had to give him a young kid, a kid that was just out of school.
Mm-hmm.
And they paid for it. They paid his boy. Well, after he was there, he took in another Jew.
Ah.
He brought a friend. His name was Abe Clapper. Mm-hmm. He lives now in Los Angeles with a daughter. His daughter became a doctor there. Mm-hmm. But he was the one that my husband took to Brace Brothers. He says, Abe, this is a good way to make a living. That time was very hard to make
sure,
a living.
Sure, your husband was a high school graduate. He had to go work as a driver.
Yeah.
Sure.
And he didn't want to stay in the Tobies because that was no future for him. So
he wasn't interested in doing office work or something like that? Or he didn't.
No.
He wasn't prepared for that? He wasn't qualified?
He didn't take that. When he finished high school, his father wanted him to go farther to school. And he started at Carnegie Tech.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to be an architect, but to go in the evening. But after he met me, the whole thing, I spoiled everything.
He wanted to get married.
I spoiled everything.
You didn't spoil anything.
I went around with him for 5 years.
Before you got married?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was 15 when I met him.
Mm-hmm.
But he took in this man.
Yeah.
And they both worked for Brace Brothers. And they worked there, I would say, we got married in 15. My little girl was born in 17. I had my daughter. And that was in about 20. He wanted to go in business for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And he was in business the rest of his days until he retired.
What kind of business?
We had a cleaning. Since he knew the laundry and cleaning,
mm-hmm.
he opened up a store,
mm-hmm.
and he hired.
Where?
Our first store was in East Liberty, but it didn't, not too long. And then we moved to Murray Avenue, right near here, near Hazelwood,
mm-hmm.
right the corner it should turn.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there for a good many years.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved to the next corner where the Giant Eagle, and they have Colonial Cleaners.
Yeah, near Gusky. Oh, you were Colonial Cleaners before?
We were since 1922.
Was that your name, Colonial Cleaners?
Yeah, it's our name. We sold it.
Yeah, I used to live on Murray and Flemington, and I used
to
go down there.
The woman that works in the office lives on Flemington, Mrs. Ash. Do you know her?
No, I didn't know anybody when I lived there.
No.
I lived in the corner house, well, not the corner, near the corner that belonged to Reverend Simon, if you know.
We lived on Kennebec
Street.
Lived
on Kennebec. So this was your business
until
he passed away?
He retired.
Oh.
And he retired in 60. And he passed away 4 years ago.
Mm. Here's a question. If you could live this part of your life over, it means the first 5 years of your life in America. That's what they're referring to.
No.
What kind of work would you go into?
Oh,
instead of Toby?
No, I would never go in. I would learn something else, like sewing. I love sewing, and
mm-hmm.
I took a course in sewing, and I became very good at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, at 13, you didn't have much choice.
No, I didn't have no choice because my mother was waiting for those $2 that I brought.
What schooling did you have in Pittsburgh?
Nothing.
Did you go to Franklin at night?
No.
Any courses in Irene Kaufman Settlement?
No.
No schooling at all?
No schooling at all.
You were just too exhausted at night to go?
I was too exhausted, and my little brother, Richie was the youngest, he went to school. And he would say, Belle, all what I learned in school, I'll show you. And he did, and I learned reading.
He went to regular school because he was
school.
Young enough.
Yes, he was young, and so was my younger sister went to regular school.
So he taught you, who taught you
yes.
how to speak English? Your younger brother, you think?
I don't know, everybody.
Or to write,
to
would you
write.
Say your brother?
I learned that in Europe.
To write English?
I learned Polish.
Yeah.
And the alphabet
mm-hmm.
is the same, but you say it different. And in fact, in the last year, the rabbi taught us English.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And he would teach us out of a book and show us a chair, and it was written chair, but we should know what it is. I knew a little bit. The last year,
mm-hmm.
after my mother was here,
uh-huh.
She wanted me to learn English while I'm still with my grandmother.
That was I think you're the only one I have that actually learned a little bit already
yeah.
the old country.
Yes, I did. When I came in, I knew cat and rat and chair and table and stuff like that. And that helped.
Mm-hmm.
And I got on to the reading very good.
Mm-hmm.
But and not the spelling. The spelling.
Would you say that your younger brother helped you too?
Yes. When I met my husband was the biggest help because...
Sure. But at home, did you speak to each other in the English?
Yes.
You and your husband?
All the time.
Oh.
We never spoke.
Was he American born?
No, he came here. He was very young.
So in other words, to him, English was a mother tongue.
Yes. He knew Romanian, though, and he knew German.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had a German maid when mm-hmm. he was young.
So, oh, I see. That's why you speak English with a very slight accent.
You think so?
Very, well, a little bit. I mean, uh-huh. I know that's why. But otherwise,
yes, but
your R's are not foreign and uh-huh. your V's and W's, you know, those key words you pronounce.
Good.
Very well.
Well, my children all got an education.
You see, you just said well. Very often people from Europe will say vel instead of well.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas you had no difficulty.
No, I have no difficulty.
This question doesn't have anything to do with you because it says, how did your Gentile classmates treat you? You didn't go to school, you didn't have Gentile.
No.
Did you get any Hebrew schooling in Pittsburgh?
No. All my Hebrew I got.
Did any of your younger sisters or brothers go to Hebrew school?
No. Yeah, my brother did. Yeah.
Where?
I don't remember. Talmatea.
You mean Rabbi Sivitz's Talmatea?
I think so, because he was little. My mother sent him to...
Mm-hmm. Did you like music when you first came?
Very much.
Did you play any instruments?
No, never.
Did you ever go to concerts?
Oh, my God, yes.
Which concerts?
Oh, we used to get every chance we got, a free concert or to a... Syrian mosque, and we used to go to concert to here in the park, free concerts.
Which park?
Shelley Park.
Did you ever go to the Carnegie Music Hall?
Oh,
or
many,
the organ
many,
concerts?
Oh, many, many times.
Do you remember any of the people that appeared, or any of the special, you know, performances?
No.
What kind of concerts did they have in Shenley Park? Only in the summertime?
In summertime, yeah. They used to have good conductors would come and...
They don't have it anymore, do they? They don't have it anymore.
Well, they had up till a few years ago.
Oh, they did?
Oh, yes.
Because when I come from New York, we used to have Prospect
yeah.
Park and Central
oh,
Park.
Oh, yes,
we had
beautiful
concerts.
Yeah, concerts.
What can you tell me about the theater, since you lived in a home where there was a theater, you know, where the owners had a theater? The Landau Theater, was that?
That was after I was already married.
Yeah.
But I started go to shows before I was married.
Yeah, where?
At the Elvin Theater. My husband got himself an evening job to do ushering. Mm-hmm. At that time, they used to hire young...
This was before you were married?
That was before I was married, uh-huh. yeah, when I was going with him.
Uh-huh.
And he was, and a couple of more, like Dr. Barbara, we had a Dr. Barbara, he passed away. Dr. Barbara was in school then,
mm-hmm.
and he also used to usher at the Elvin, and the ushers used to get, beside what they got paid, and they wore their uniforms and everything, they used to get two tickets
mm-hmm.
for the first performance at the Elvin Theater for Monday night. So he would give me the ticket. And I would come and sit and see the show, and after he was through ushering, he'd take me home.
So you got to see all the shows?
Oh, my God, you saw.
Not only Yiddish, all kinds.
All
not
kinds.
Yiddish. Not specially Yiddish.
Oh, no, not
this
Yiddish. Yes.
Did you go to the Yiddish theater?
Yes.
Where?
Every once in a while, like Molly Pekin used to come, and Adler used to come, Tomaszewski, they all
you
used to come.
You remember Madame Simon?
Madame Simon, the sort of...
From Cleveland?
No.
No. Well, I think maybe it's before. Maybe it's in the earlier
it
years.
It could
maybe.
Be, yeah.
So the well-known actors or actresses would come, and where would they appear? Which
they
theaters?
They would appear in one of the theaters
Nixon?
Downtown.
At the Nixon? What about the Harris Theater for Vaudeville? Did you ever go there?
Yes, I used to go there too once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever go to the shows that they put on at the Zionist hall?
Yes, yes. We used to go dancing at the Zionist hall.
Didn't they have Yiddish readings or dramatics there, too?
They probably did, but I never went there.
Do you know Jacob Rothbart?
Yes, very well.
Because
very
he told me that they had dramatic groups there, too.
Yes, they did. And he could tell you a lot about
it. Oh, yeah, he's one of my people.
He's a fine man, and you knew my husband very well. In fact, they organized a free loan for our members.
Members of what?
Of the working circle.
Oh. Did you go to lectures?
All the time.
Yeah. At the Labor Lyceum?
At the Labor Lyceum. That was our meet.
When did you join the working circle?
Let's see. Well, my husband joined the workman's circle when my little girl, the oldest one, was just a couple of years old, 17. I would say in 1920.
Mm-hmm. And
did you know the Gershon, Isidore Gershon, that passed away?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he used to be a neighbor of ours, and he was much older than my husband. And my husband was a young man. We had just one child, and they used to say, he knew him, that he was active in the union, that he should belong, and he made him a member.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it was in 20.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I became a member a couple of years later,
mm-hmm.
that they took in wives with them.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell me a little bit about a typical meeting or how things were run in the workman's circle? And how many members you had around then? About 1,000 members, I think.
Oh, we had three branches in Pittsburgh at that time. 250, and 45, and 75.
Did they have names or just numbers?
Numbers.
And
we're still now, we are with the branch 45.
How many members do you have now in Pittsburgh?
We have now, I would say, about 175, and that takes in the three.
Mm.
At the 250, branch 250 was the biggest branch.
Mm.
But they died out. And
the children aren't interested?
Very few of the children are interested. Stark's children remain members, you know Stark's. Sidney Stark's, no?
I know the name from the Jewish Chronicle, but I don't know them personally.
Well, East children all belong to the Workman's Circle. And there are another couple of members, a fellow by the name Sigel, he's a pharmacist, lives on Flemington.
Mm-hmm.
He belongs, him and his sister. And that's children from the,
members.
I don't know very many. I really don't know very many.
Was that Bess Topolsky you were talking to?
No, my sister Bess.
Oh.
Bess Topolsky is away.
Oh, where is she?
She went to Florida for three weeks.
Oh, good.
See her sister. Yes, she does. She needs it. Her sister lives in Florida, mm-hmm. now, Rose Klein. And we had our donor luncheon Sunday a week ago, so she told me she'd go.
What's the relationship between Workman's Circle and Jewish Labor Committee?
Well, the Jewish Labor Committee is a branch that came out from the Workman's Circle. It was during Hitler time that they organized.
And it includes other organizations also?
No.
Does it include Polite Zion, for instance?
No.
No?
No. But they are national. They have branches all over the country,
mm-hmm.
the Jewish Labor Committee.
Is it only Workman's Circle then in Pittsburgh that belongs to the Jewish Labor Committee? Or
yes.
Or other people?
All just Workman's Circle members.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And our membership, when we started during the war, the last war, was quite all the wives from our group, from the Workman's Circle, joined the Jewish Labor Committee. But now it came down, I bet we don't have more than 65.
How big was the Labor Lyceum, the building?
The building was a beautiful building. It was, three floors.
How many rooms?
A basement. Well, you couldn't call it rooms. It was a big, like we have the dining room,
mm-hmm.
here, a big hall that we had lectures,
mm-hmm.
and we used to bring down shows.
Mm-hmm. But I know that other organizations used to have meetings there.
Yeah, we used to rent it out to other organizations.
What about the upstairs rooms? What were they used for?
They were used for meeting rooms. We
uh-huh.
also had a school there at one time. we brought down a man from New York to
what
teach.
What was the name of the school?
The Workman's Circle Jewish Day School.
A day school?
A day school. The children used to go after they...
They called it a day school,
yeah,
but they came after
they
school.
They came after school. My
to learn
daughter,
Yiddish.
Yeah.
How many years did it function? Do you remember when it started?
Not much. I was talking yesterday to Bessie Kelmer. She just moved in, and we were arguing about it. She says it was before the war, and I said it was after the war.
Bessie Kelmer was interviewed by us.
I know, by Lillian Friedberg.
So it didn't last too long.
No.
Why do you think it didn't last?
Why didn't last? Because our members' children, or either the members weren't interested in giving their children a Jewish education, or the children weren't not interested. They were more interested.
Do you know Abraham Joseph from Morningside Avenue? Abraham Joseph. He was told me that his son gave his bar mitzvah speech in Yiddish. They had the organization called the Yiddish Kulturgesellschaft.
Yeah, I remember
were
that.
Were you aware of that?
No.
Did you ever go to the public library in Pittsburgh?
Oh, yes, Carnegie Library.
The Wiley Avenue branch?
The Wiley Avenue branch, yeah.
This is before marriage, after marriage? You just along with...
But the library, the Carnegie Library, it wasn't the beginners. I don't think that they were even there when I was going to...
Wiley Avenue branch opened in 1899.
Did it?
Yeah, I have the is statistics.
So?
But maybe you weren't living near it. So
maybe I wasn't living on it. I know when I first came here,
because you were on Center and Overhill.
Yes, Center.
So maybe it was a walk to get to Wiley and.
Oh yes, it was quite a walk because you had a. It wasn't Wiley Avenue. It was near McKelvey School.
Well, Wiley and. Aaron or Green? Wiley and Green was where they had the Wiley Avenue branch of the Carnegie. Did you used to go to the Oakland branch of the library?
Oh, we used to go to there just to see the museum, but not to take books.
Which newspapers did you read? And this, of course, when you...